Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us today in Advanced as
Linda,
Catherine,
and Doris continue talking about the Duvet Lady. It's nice to have you with us today. Now, some of you might think, the Duvet Lady, how can that be an interesting subject? But it is an interesting subject because it has to do with the way we sleep at night. And we all like to have a good night's sleep, so it is interesting.
It is very interesting. I actually learned a lot by reading this article.
There were so many things that I did not know about how important it is to have good bedding for good health when you sleep.
Right. We always think about something that looks nice, maybe on the bed or something.
Yeah. But just
More than that, though.
Just because it looks nice doesn't mean that it's good for you or good for your body.
And sometimes when you travel, if you go to some hotels and there's great big heavy covers on there, you can hardly move them off sometimes, you know. And so it really does make a big difference, don't you think?
I do. And in the winter, they become damp and you just feel that cold damp, even though they're supposed to keep you warm.
So this is a people article in a way, but it's more than that. It's also about a product that might be useful, and it's about a local person here in Taiwan. It's quite interesting. And so we're going to read more about Judith Chun, the Duvet Lady. And we found out yesterday that she grew up on a farm, didn't we?
Yes, that's right. She grew up on her family's farm, and she always played with or observed the ducks that were on her farm. And she learned a lot about the characteristics of ducks and their feathers and what you can do with the down that's underneath the duck's feathers.
And that's why she was nicknamed the Little Duck Feather Girl.
Yes,
that's right.
It's a cute nickname.
But now they might call her the Duvet Lady, but she's a successful CEO. And what is the name of the company that she founded?
It's called Royal H&S Bedding.
Okay.
So a corporation.
And so she's become quite a businesswoman. And we're going to read more about when this happened and how it happened. So today, as we start on the second day of the article on page 19, we're going to find out how she went for it. She decided to go ahead and do something about it. Let's read Going For It.
Going For It. In 1988, as tourism in Taiwan was on the rise, Chen saw an opportunity and made her move to get the ball rolling for her company. She approached hotel chains around the island, pitching her idea of using down duvets in their hotel rooms. Some operators were hesitant, as Chen's idea was a new one. But after a lot of dogged persistence, including multiple visits to five-star hotels, Chen's idea finally took hold. Today, as a result, many hotel chains in Taiwan use Royal bedding duvets.
Well, Linda, you were here in Taiwan in 1988, and do you remember that a lot of tourists started coming in about that time?
I do remember, and we did a lot of traveling around Taiwan at that time also. And I remember, you know, when we used to stay in hotels, those heavy quilts. And I also remember thinking one time about this time, the bedding is a little bit different here. They, you know, they actually had a duvet, and it was lightweight.
And
I was like,
realize,
something's really changed.
Right. Something different. Right. There was a big difference at that time. In a long time ago, before that, there were more like Japanese-style places and tatamis, and that bedding was a little bit heavy, too, that you put on those.
It was. I remember that, too.
But then when it got to be more people going around, more tourism, things became more, you could say, 国际化, more international, and more people were traveling. Because people began to have a little bit more money, not only in Taiwan, but other places in the world. It was kind of a time when people did travel more. I know when I first came here, nobody ever came to see me at all. But then around this time, people started stopping by, and it was a different period of time.
Right. You know, it's progress in society. I guess that's what we would call it.
Right. So she thought, well, this is a good opportunity. And so she made her move. That's a good way of saying she said, now I'm going to really do something. And to get it started, to get the ball rolling, that's a very good phrase, too.
All right. I like the made her move means that she did something to get a result. Mm-hmm. And what she did was, this is another great phrase, as you said, get the ball rolling means to start something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she made her move. She did something to achieve a result by starting her company.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you sit around and have meetings, and everybody has all these plans. Let's do this. Let's do this. And somebody else says, "Well, what are we going to do to get the ball rolling?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to get this started?" And once that ball starts rolling, it's supposed to go fast and keep going.
Hopefully,
right. But this is a very good phrase to know, you know. Say, well, let's not just sit here and plan. Let's get the ball rolling now. Let's start to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's a great phrase to say whenever you want to start something. And Judith got the ball rolling on her company by approaching hotel chains around the island.
Okay, so there were all these big, you know, hotels, mm-hmm. Hilton hotels, and all these different chains that started at that time. A Hilton in every city and some Sherwood, all these different big hotels got started then, didn't they?
Right. I remember that when they started opening. More and more came mm-hmm. into Taiwan.
Right.
And so she started approaching them. She went to them, and she pitched her idea of using down duvets. This is another great word, pitching. We usually think of this in terms of baseball or football, mm-hmm. maybe. But you can also use it when you are trying to persuade somebody to do something.
Throwing
so
out your
sales.
Idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Getting it out. When you pitch an idea, you're just throwing the ball to them. Say, now, what are you going to do about it? You know.
Yeah, that's right.
So some of the people, though, the hotel operators, they were a little bit hesitant. They said, well, I don't know. It's kind of lightweight, and maybe people won't like it. They were a bit hesitant.
Well, you know, I think sometimes change is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was a custom in a way that people grew up, and it's worked
bedding.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
So are you really sure?
Because
that's that's a big difference in weight.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference.
Yeah, and I think especially since tourism was just kind of rising, like y'all have said, they were probably very nervous to change things in case people didn't like it, and it just cut tourism off, or people were like, we don't want to go there, you know, we don't want to stay at this hotel because of that.
In fact, that people might be too cold if they mm-hmm. didn't have something heavy,
mm-hmm.
and they say, well, it was too cold there in that room. But, you know, I'll tell you who must have really liked it was the maids that serviced the hotels. Because
yes.
And they had to make all the beds instead of those great big heavy quilts. They probably thought, this is great. Don't you think so?
I would think so. Much mm-hmm. easier to handle.
But then they didn't get the arm workouts anymore, you know, lifting the big
And they could probably do it a lot faster, too, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, this was something that she just kept at. She didn't give up. And this is why it says with a lot of what we call dogged persistence.
Right.
That's a very good phrase.
Yeah, I like this phrase. We sometimes say dogged determination, too, mm-hmm. which means that you don't give up.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds you of a dog. When they get a hold of something,
they won't,
they grab onto something and they hang on. You try to pull it away and you can't pull it out of their mouth.
Right. They won't let go.
They won't let go.
So she wouldn't let go either.
Right. So, you know, then she went around to these 5-star hotels because she wanted to get it in there. In these big hotels, the chains, they could mm-hmm. do it more. And finally, what happened?
Well, it says that the idea finally took hold. So if something takes hold, it means that it kind of gets established. And so these hotel chains decided to try it out, and then it ended up working. So the idea took hold, and it took off in the hotels.
I think probably also this is high quality.
Mm-hmm.
These are very high quality goods that we're talking about, so it might have been a little bit more expensive. So they're, you know, buying something new and changing all of their bedding was going to be, you know, very expensive. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there was resistance on several levels.
But if they started it in one of the hotel chains and everybody thought, oh, isn't that nice? It's
mm-hmm.
so comfortable. Then pretty soon the others are going to copy it.
Right. And we can see in the last sentence here, it says, now a lot of hotel chains use royal bedding duvets. You know, it's much easier. You just have to change the outside.
Right.
cover, you know, to wash instead of having to go out and hang out and clean the whole quilt.
It certainly is. It's very much nicer. Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, how do you wash and take care of it? It tells us how to care for it here.
Right. There's a great sidebar here at the bottom of the page called Caring for Your Duvet. And I think I found it very helpful. You know, it's to dry it, to store it, to clean it. You know, you really need to take good care of your duvet. So you have to dry it in an airy, cool place. And you need to keep the cover very dry. There will be three benefits. It will prevent moisture.
That's right, and it will retain its warming ability, so the down will be able to keep the warmth in and keep you warm at night.
Well, in fact, if you get one, I might have instructions on it. If it doesn't, just cut this part out and put it there so you can pull it out when you need to, right? It says not to put it under the sun for very long, right?
Right. It says to do it between 10 and 9 and for 2 to 3 hours, so you don't have to leave it out there all day long. Mm-hmm. And then flip it over, so you want to make sure that everything dries very evenly.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you shouldn't keep it or store it in a place that's got moisture. And there's a lot of moisture, a lot of humidity here.
Right. So you have to try to find a place where you can keep the moisture away for it, but you don't want to store it in a completely airtight container. Some air needs to get to it, but not wet air if possible.
That's good advice, isn't it?
It is. And also remember that when you clean it, you should take it to a laundromat and only wash the outside of it. Don't wash the feather part of it.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to do that very often on these either.
No.
Mm-mm. Right. Yeah. What else should you do?
Well, you have to take very good care of it by doing what, Kevin?
Well, sometimes the duvet may start getting small holes, and if that happens, feathers and down will come out of it. So you have to try to repair it as carefully as possible. You want to repair the holes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that wouldn't happen too often unless somebody pokes it with something, I think.
Maybe if a pet gets on your bed and something like that.
Oh, yeah. So she got a good start about that time, and that was a very good time to get into it. So now let's see how the progress is coming along. Let's read Making Progress.
Making Progress. For a few years, Royal's products were only used in hotels, but in 1993, Royal also began selling products in department stores. At one promotional event that year, the company sold a record 100 duvets in 15 minutes. Today, the company has duvets in 30 sales corners in various department stores. Royal's factories have always manufactured and sold their products in Taiwan, but the company also imports and sells items from Europe. As Chen said, she wants to keep upscale, quality products in Taiwan to be used by locals, rather than exporting them to different countries. This successful CEO is driven by her feeling of responsibility to get the product to Taiwanese consumers. Her desire is to make sure Taiwanese consumers have the best, most innovative bedding products available to them.
So if you stayed in a hotel that had one of these, you thought, oh, this is very nice. Where did you get it? But they didn't have them for sale other places at first.
Right. So it's like 5 years that they were only used in hotels before they actually expanded into department stores.
Well, you know, department stores were really growing in Taiwan at that period of time, too. Before, they just had one, like the first department store, and then it became more department stores. And the more department stores there were, they had sections where they would sell bedding. And so it seemed like a good time for them to, you know, get into something new.
Mm-hmm,
so they
mm-hmm.
had some kind of a promotional event, maybe even TV, who knows, you know.
Yeah, I think that there actually was a lot of TV coverage. She showed me at least one video from it. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so people thought, that sounds good. I don't have to carry these heavy quilts around. And so they had some kind of a campaign on, and what a surprise.
To sell 100 duvets in 15 minutes?
That is
a very busy salespeople.
That must
have
been exciting, don't you think?
Yes. Right. I wish I'd been there.
Well, I heard that Judith told me that people waited outside for hours before they could get in, and that we saw some pictures from that day, and the lines were just down the road. People were waiting. So
they were new, something new.
Yeah, exactly.
And there must have been big campaigns then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
I also think that this is a period of time when people also had more money to spend,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and were interested in more innovative things.
And, of course, now you can get them in different places. And this is 30 sales corners in various department stores. There's a section as bedding. So mm-hmm. you can find them all around
mm-hmm.
if you want to look for them. And you say, oh, I read about that in advance. How interesting.
I've seen them, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen them in several department stores I've been in.
Okay.
Well, they're actually manufactured here. And you'd think that they would probably sell them all over the world. But they sell them mostly here in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Judith always said that she wanted to keep these products in Taiwan for the Taiwanese people who live here.
That's interesting. You know, mm-hmm. they do have duvets and things in Europe, but they're different. And mm-hmm. and these are very special because they're homegrown things, ducks and the factory here. And it's kind of nice to have a local industries, isn't it?
I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I think it's it's also wonderful that it's so well supported.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's an item. It's not something frivolous that you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to stay warm and dry when they're sleeping.
Right.
And sleep healthily and comfortably. But also, she does import and sell items from Europe as well.
Well, so, the reason is that she likes to sell things that go with it, so mm-hmm. that the bedroom and the house has some kind of classical character to it, not just this part, but so it kind of goes with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So she imports things from Paris and England and other countries, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's great.
Yeah, she imports from really, really high-end companies. So, I mean, she really... I think that could be a measure of her success, that she's partnering up with some of these companies to sell their products as well.
We'll talk a little bit more about her products as we go along, because mm-hmm. she has really interesting products, not just this one thing, but she's very successful now as a CEO. And what keeps her going? What is driving her?
She feels that she has a sense of responsibility to get the product out to Taiwanese consumers, which shows me that she cares about the people that live here and about
right.
her fellow country people.
Right. She says, in Taiwan, we have the most innovative bedding products available to them. And products, she has more than just one thing.
That's right. Whenever I was there, I learned a lot about bedding. And she has so much more than just duvets. One thing that I liked was she has a travel set that you can take with you whenever you go hiking, and it's got a portable blanket with it. And then they also have different kinds of...
A blanket you can take when you
Yeah,
travel?
It's just a small blanket that you can roll up really tightly and put it in
a bag.
And
it's got the feathers ducked down, yeah?
Yes, it's a down travel blanket. They also have different designs and different lines of duvets, things that will help your health or your circulation. They even have scented duvets, so they put off a small or a very slight scent that can help you sleep. I mean, there's so many different kinds that they have right now. Yeah.
That was interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think the travel one would be good because sometimes, you know, when you're traveling, mm-hmm. and if you're even traveling someplace where you're on a bus or something, you want something you can put over mm-hmm. you when it's cold, and you could take this little one out and just cover yourself up like a little blanket. But it would be very lightweight. That sounds mm-hmm. like a nice one, doesn't it?
No, I think that was the main thing. I wanted it so badly because it's so lightweight that, you know, if you have a heavy suitcase, that's not going to add any extra weight to your bag. So it's no inconvenience to carry it with you.
So there's more than just this one thing for your bed. There's mm-hmm. other products that you can have, right? I think we should read that on where it says beyond the businesswoman because she's more than just a regular businesswoman. She's more than that. Let's read that section.
Beyond the businesswoman. Chun is not only an extraordinary businesswoman who never gives up. She's also an inspiration to many young girls. The business world is a man's world, as many may say. But for Chun, this just isn't true. She acknowledges that women face more challenges than men, but believes that everything is possible if you put 100% effort into it and you will have the best results. Obviously, she has taken her own advice.
Well, you'll notice here that they just say she is a very good businesswoman. She's an extraordinarily good businesswoman. That's good. And it says she never gives up. And, you know, in Pseudo Classroom in Advance, we always say, never give up, whatever you're doing. It's kind of our slogan, and she believes in that same slogan that we have. And that's the thing that you have to do if you want to be successful. Whenever something happens that you say, oh, it's not very good, you cannot give up.
Right. You know, obviously she must have been discouraged along the way. Hmm. And because business was slow, it took her arduous. The word we talked about yesterday means that it was a lot of work. It was not easy. And as Catherine said earlier, you know, she had to drive up into the mountains to visit for hours, drive for hours to go visit hotels. And they weren't very interested because it was too new at that time. You know, that's not easy to do. Mm-hmm. But she never gave up.
And it was 5 years of doing that. I mean, it wasn't just 6 months or 1 year of trying to get companies to accept this. It was 5 years. And I think that that says a lot about her, that she didn't give up in that time.
Yeah,
she's a very strong woman.
Don't give up too soon, but that assumes that you could still give up. Say never give up. That means just keep on, and then maybe the timing isn't right or something changes, and all of a sudden something that you worked very hard on is successful.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really a contrast to our instant society today. Because now, you know, when we say never give up, we think, okay, I won't for a month or maybe 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 years?
I'll try it a little bit longer. Never give up on relationships and never give up on things. Like, for instance, even people say, I've been studying English all my life. But don't give up because it'll keep getting better. And whatever you do, just keep on.
That's right. That's right.
So she had that spirit, really. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what helped her become so successful. And don't you think that kind of spirit makes other people encouraged and want to do the same thing?
Well, she is a CEO in a man's world. I mean, we're talking about the founder of this company and a very forward-thinking businesswoman. We usually think of men.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, the business, it says here, the business world is a man's world, even still in this century, it still is. So she has been an inspiration to many young girls. Mm-hmm. You know, people need somebody to look up to here.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons that I really enjoyed this story and getting to meet and talk to Judith was because she really is. She's an inspiration. I was very inspired by her story. I was so impressed with the way that she just had this passion since she was a child, and she didn't let go of it. And I'm always a fan of, you know, dream big stories where dreams come true. And she really did amazing. I was so inspired by her.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Well, and she acknowledges, you know, that women do face more challenges than men. But she says, everything is possible if you put 100% effort into it. In other words, you have to believe in it and not just say, well, I'll try it. If it doesn't work out, I'll, you know. You can't have that attitude.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it is something, obviously, she has invested her life in, you know, from the time she was little, observing the ducks and learning all about them and realizing the potential of the feathers, the down, what they can do, and also how they can help society. And, you know, it sounds kind of funny to say that about bedding, that bedding will help society. But if you wake up feeling more comfortable, if you feel healthier, then it has helped society. And she, how much, I just think it's interesting. She said you have to put 100% effort into it.
And that's another thing that I really love about Judith. She told me that whenever she was starting this company in the late 80s, that she had just had her first child. And one of the things she said to me that I remember so clearly was she said, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a daughter-in-law, and I'm a businesswoman, and it's really hard to fill all those roles, but you have to give 100% to everything. So she didn't just have this company going on in her life. She also had her family and a life outside of this, and she still managed to do it all.
And so I think, you know, in closing today, we're going to have one of our songs that our Studio Classroom songs, Dare to Dream. And if you have a dream, we want you to not give up, too. So let's hear Dare to Dream.
you'll discover there's a place that you have never known. And all along it's been the light that's guiding you. And when you can believe, that light within comes shining through. Comes shining through. If you listen to your heart, it will lead you to a place that you've been searching for. Like a butterfly, spread your wings and soar. And then your shining star is just within your reach. If you believe in miracles, this one is yours. It's yours. Dare to dream. Dare to believe that you can soar so high above the clouds, discovering where dreams are found. Dare to dream. There's no limit to all that you can do. How far you go, it's up to you. Any star is reachable when you can dream.
So follow your dreams and dare to dream. We'll see you when we finish the article tomorrow.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.